How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
I feel like we've been so lucky lately to be getting to talk about lesbians as much as we have been.
And this one, we're also recording Amy Bradley 3, so like,
it's
we're
so just many lesbians. I need them, because otherwise I'm not getting through this.
Yeah, they kind of got a lot of shit done. Not like I'm saying like it's surprising, but like, wow, they're really burying the lead.
This and Lilith Fair, good job, lesbians.
Hell yeah.
Hi, Jillian Benzavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Girl, my notes begin with, I've got three words for you. Lesbian.
Exactly.
Lesbian!
Exactly. So this is our 12th bonus episode.
Yeah.
It's an episode of that show, New York Homicide, season one, episode 5. This episode is called Broken Pride.
These two women had just come back from the 4th of July holiday weekend, and they were viciously attacked in their Brooklyn brownstone.
I got a phone call. Amanda had been shot. Sylvia had been shot and killed, and I almost dropped the phone.
The community was very, very afraid, and they wanted results.
There was a fellow known as the Park Slope rapist, and he had not been apprehended yet.
But our main suspect was someone closer to home, the only known witness.
To the police, none of her story is making sense.
You see someone shot, you have to make a determination. Was the person shot, or could it be self-inflicted?
We were outraged, telling them, no, 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 you're barking up the wrong tree. Go find the guy who did this.
Just the facts of the case makes you kind of shake your head and say, I didn't see that coming.
I love that they are telling a lesbian story. I feel like the LGBTQ stories are so few and far between in true crime.
Yeah, they try to cover up their mess a little bit, but we clock them like, as the lesbians.
We were just talking about this off mic. At one point, they're like, this takes place in 1995. They're like, we were so good at dealing with the gay community.
No.
I'm like, not really. And by the way, there's a reason we don't trust you. And
yeah,
we'll get there.
We will get there. So it's July 5th, 1995. Our host is like, every year, like clockwork, noise complaints, flood our precincts on the 4th of July.
I gotta tell you though, people are out of control in New York.
July 4th sucks. I hate the 4th of July.
It really sucks, but also just like
for many reasons.
The fireworks of it all, what
is
the deal?
Yeah, because they're getting the complaints for like the noise.
Including reports of gunshots that turned out to be illegal fireworks. But on this one 4th of July in 1995, at 1 a.m. call to Brooklyn's 84th turned out to be the real deal.
It was actually gunshots.
Yeah, so senior ADA Haida Mason is here, and she's telling us a lot of the story. She says it's
I love her, but she's like one of the chief apologists for like how great they all were with the gays.
Yeah.
I'm like, Heidi.
Yeah, she says one of the most disturbing 911 calls she has ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, she's describing, we don't have this 911 call,
oh,
but there's a woman who, she says, is completely hysterical. A man has forced his way into their apartment. This woman has been shot, and she's been raped.
Yeah, and our host is like, you go to hell's bells. You get there as fast as you can. It's like, that's your job.
Hell's bells.
Yeah, you get an emergency phone call, you act like it's an emergency.
Excellent. I don't think I've ever heard the expression hell's bells before.
I've only heard it in Mad Men. Hell's bells, Trudy.
Really?
Pete says it. Wait, it's like, I guess it's like a very rich Upper East Side curse at the time.
Oh, really?
But he says it when he's angry. Hell's bells, Trudy.
Don't you yell at Trudy.
Please, Trudy
I
is
love
holding
her.
This whole thing together.
She's only, that's what the money's for.
I mean, she wasn't even there, but she'd be like, Dawn.
I know. 100%. So the cops get there. They really don't know what they're walking into. Like they say, the shooter could still be there. They don't really know what's going on. But I was like, it is literal chaos down here, Tom.
Well, yeah. So the detective, Derek Parker, is like,
don't like this guy.
Yeah, no. Was it a jealous ex? Was it a robbery? Because, like, the cops get there and they hear screaming on the other side of the door. And they're like, is he still here? Like, what is going on?
And then also, and I don't think we've ever seen this before, the first EMT to arrive recognizes the apartment as belonging to their friends, Amanda and Sylvia.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, I don't know. Like, are you supposed to recuse yourself in that moment? Because I feel like I'd go bananas.
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
Like, I don't know your street address, but if I was an EMT and I showed up to your building and I was like, what apartment did you say?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I mean, I think you can't just like fucking fall apart. You still have to do your job and help save people.
This is why I'm not an EMT, right?
Like,
this
is probably why. You can't stop everything, but.
Sorry, this is for the YouTube fam only, but the look on my of disappointment when you said you can't just fall apart. I'm like, but wait, that's what I'm the best at.
You got to get your shit together,
I don't know, girl.
So the apartment is the apartment of Amanda Leach and Sylvia Lugo. They are girlfriends.
Yes.
Amanda is there screaming.
Amanda is screaming, come in, come in, help me, help me. She has to drag herself through the apartment to the door because she's too badly injured to get up and walk, and kind of climbs up her own door, unlocks the door so they're able to come in.
She's the one that unlocks the door from the inside and lets them in. And I'm like, whoa, she unlocked the door?
Right.
Like, how did this person get in?
Yeah, and then locked the door behind him.
Right.
So the cops finally get in. They say there's blood everywhere. Amanda has been shot once in the leg. She's the one that was up and answered the door. Sylvia, her girlfriend, has been shot twice in the head. Sylvia is unconscious but breathing. She's still alive.
And there are three gun shells, but the gun is missing. So we're like, okay, there's no gun. There's also no forced entry.
Yeah, and there's like so many questions because it's like, did they shoot each other? What is happening?
What's going on? So Amanda and Sylvia are rushed to the hospital. Their families are notified and Sylvia is on life support. And now we meet so many members of Sylvia's family.
Well, right. So the first two that we meet are Mark and Martin. They're Sylvia's brothers and they are devastated. And they can't even process the idea that Sylvia might not make it. Sylvia's been shot in the head twice.
Yeah, they're absolutely terrified. Like, they're trying to stay positive. It is unfortunately not looking good, but they're just, you know, they're doing their best.
And so then we meet Sandra and Teresa, Sylvia's sisters, and they're sort of giving us the Sylvia backstory. They describe growing up in Park Slope, there were eight kids. Mm-hmm. Sylvia was the third of eight children.
Yeah, and they talk about, Sandra tells us about like this perfect home they had. They were in Park Slope. It was three floors, a big backyard. They went to great schools.
It takes too long for them to get there, but like lucky for Sylvia because Park Slope is where all the lesbians live.
Great.
You literally have to be a lesbian now to live there.
Yeah, which we will
they
learn
about.
They
can legally evict you if you're not a lesbian. I don't know if you know this or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I do. That's, it's on the books.
You did. Great.
It's an actual law.
But I don't know when it became that way. Like, I don't know if it was like that when Sylvia was growing up, but they grew up in Park Slope. Park Slope is a very, very fancy neighborhood in New York now.
Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of kids, so they had to have, I mean, you don't have to have a big house, but when they're like, oh, three floors, I'm like, oh, wow, these kids, like, with a big outdoor space, like, these kids really had it made.
It sounds very expensive. We don't learn anything about, like, Sylvia's parents or what they did, but they had eight kids in a big house with a backyard in Park Slope. Like,
good.
God damn it.
Good for them.
Yeah. Travel. Girl, cornbread CBD gummies are back. I gotta tell you, I love them so much. Ever since I sort of kicked the alcohol, this is my go-to thing now.
Yeah, look, we all got a lot going on.
I know.
Okay, we all need to unwind. And what's helping me unwind these days is cornbread hemp CBD gummies. I love them. They have all different flavors. They have watermelon, berry, and peach. I'm a watermelon girly.
And look, cornbread hemp CBD gummies are made to help you feel better, whether it's stress, discomfort, or just needing a little relaxation. That's what I do. I go home after a recording, I pop a couple of those.
You know, people always ask, like, what do you do after talking about really tense, stressful things for 4 hours.
Yeah, that, we get this, the cornbread hemp CBD gummies.
Exactly. And they only use the best part of the hemp plant, the flower, for the purest and most potent CBD.
And get this, all products are third-party lab tested and USDA organic to ensure safety and purity, and they're delicious.
Yeah, we love it.
We do. So fam, right now, TCO listeners can save 30% on their first order.
Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout.
That's cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout.
Yeah, just like relax a little bit.
Just take the edge off.
You know, we all need to calm down a little bit, I think. So Sylvia was the third born. She was kind.
Sylvia was kind, loved animals. Anyone who would ever meet her would not have a problem with her. She would give you the shirt off her back.
Sweet, caring, wonderful.
Like, who doesn't love animals? I was thinking that when I took that. But you literally have to be a bad people. If you don't like animals.
Like, really?
I have a dog that drives me crazy, but I like him. You know what I mean?
Him.
I mean, I love him.
You love him.
I love him. I mean, I've got a kid that drives me crazy, too.
Own.
I also love her.
You gave birth to that
I did birth that. I did get pregnant with and then birth a dog.
Right.
I did have.
Have you seen that TikTok trend where it's like, babies and dogs aren't the same thing? And then it's like, really? Explain this. And then it's like a very crudely Photoshopped dog, like on a sonogram.
I've really? Said this to you. I've looked you right in your goddamn eye and told you 1,000 times. I've had animals and I've had children, and I think the love feels the same.
Well, it's still like a creature you're raising. It's still like something
that
you're
loving. That is completely
loving.
Dependent on you.
You know, like
But can you imagine just... going to a zoo and seeing a panda and not being like annoyed?
No.
Who doesn't like animals?
No. I don't know. Bad people.
Bad people.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
It's like a very simple answer.
I know.
Not like...
But it really does tell you something. If you're like, oh, you know, it's like people who don't like ice cream. You're like, what?
Oh, get ready for those DMs, girl. They are going to be coming and coming hard.
Are there people who don't like ice cream?
Oh, and animals and ice cream. Well, it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be bean souping like I taught you about last week, where it's going to be like, well, I'm allergic. Okay, then don't go. Then don't eat the ice cream. We're just saying like.
Well, Sylvia likes animals so much, we see a picture of her petting a snake.
Yeah.
I was like, Sylvia, there's a... You can go too far.
No.
You know what I mean?
Snakes are cool, man.
But, like, behind glass.
Sometimes not. This is what I mean. This is why you're going to get the DMs.
All right.
God damn.
Let's get back to the lesbians because Amanda and Sylvia met playing softball.
Yeah.
I remember when Sylvia introduced Amanda to us, and my initial impression was she's a very nice woman. And when I found out that she was a social worker and worked with kids... I'm like, you know, that for me is making a contribution in the world, someone who's trying to do good. And I liked her.
They met on the local Park Slope softball team, which I would imagine at this point is a fucking league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The number of lesbians playing softball in Park Slope, I want to go there on any Sunday and just watch a game.
Yeah.
They love it.
Are you surprised that I really loved playing softball?
No, because you're kind of a lesbian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I pitched.
Yeah.
And then I
guess
you're
doing that
base.
Like underhand swing.
I only did it once. I only
did
one. No. I wasn't like one of those. I pitched for a little bit for like one. It wasn't like a huge thing.
Will you give us a?
I just did one like a bowling, but I went around once. I was not one of those
swing,
like
bada.
Like League of Their Own badass like triple windmill kind of things. If that's what it's called. I don't know. I just made that up. Is that what it's called? I hope so.
That sounds
no.
like a drag move if ever I've heard one.
Yeah,
oh, did you see?
Did you see the triple?
She did a triple windmill.
Triple windmill death drop. Like Katya,
Katya did a triple windmill death drop.
Sylvia's family says that they met Amanda and they really liked her. They were like, she's really nice. She's a social worker. And Mark, the brother, is like, well, if you're like to him, he's like, that means you're trying to do good in this world. So
yes.
I like you for that alone.
Yeah. And like having, you know, been in the foster care system, I can tell you, I know how hard those people work.
Right.
The number of cases that like social workers are my mom was a social worker. They are the best. But it does seem like there was no issue that Sylvia was gay.
No.
Who knows? We don't ever meet the parents or learn much more about them. But like, at least with the siblings who are here, everybody loves and accepts Sylvia. And this is the 90s. That was a different time.
Yeah, because we learned a little bit earlier that Sylvia came out at like 18 or 19 and her family saying she was totally comfortable with who she was. She came out to everyone. Like, she was just like, Sylvia was Sylvia.
I love her. So this is really fucking sad. But Sylvia doesn't make it. I mean, it's so awful. Her family is devastated. And we learned that they had just lost their dad a few years ago in a robbery. Like the dad was in a robbery and was killed. Like, this family has really experienced the worst of, like, New York City crime.
It's really, really horrifying.
Yeah.
So her family obviously is devastated because they're barely getting over their father being murdered. And now this truly horrifying thing happens to their sister. It's just totally fucking unfair.
No.
Sometimes the world is so unfair.
And then Amanda, the girlfriend who let the cops in, still recovering at the hospital, she tells the investigators what happened. And she said they were unloading their rental car, bringing things into the apartment when they were, quote, set upon by an unknown male who forced them at gunpoint into the apartment, forced Amanda to tie Sylvia up. Now, Amanda, because she's smart and amazing.
Oh, she pulls a fast one.
Oh my God. She like ties Sylvia up super loosely so she'd be able to break free. The man then takes Amanda into the bedroom where he rapes her. Sylvia broke in while the rape was occurring.
After Sylvia burst into the room to save Amanda, the assailant shoots her in the head. Amanda says Sylvia fell to the floor and then stood up only to get shot a second time in the head.
Got shot in the head a second time.
And then there's a struggle, and that's like how and when Amanda gets shot in the leg. And then this guy tried to shoot Amanda again, but the gun jammed and he couldn't. And then the guy just leaves. Like, he grabs the keys to this rental car and steals some jewelry and just leaves. And the cops are like, huh. a lot went on. Like, this story seems unbelievable.
Which is, like, kind of crazy. And I wonder, like, if they weren't lesbians, if they would think the story was more believable.
Yeah.
Like, why does it seem unbelievable to them?
Because I think the way they're telling it to us, like, you know.
I'm very protective of the lesbians.
Of course. But, like, Sylvia is shot in the head and then falls to the floor and then gets up again.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing about the gun jamming. It's just, like, it's a crazy story. Like, just because the story's crazy doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Truly. And we're going to learn some more crazy things, some of which I don't believe, but we'll get to it in a minute. Amanda describes the assailant as a Latino man, about 5'5", 150 pounds, wearing a baseball cap with a pencil-thin mustache. He was a little son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, he was an asshole.
Yeah. Amanda gives a description, and they put together a composite sketch, which is now then released to the public.
And the cops are on a bolo. They'll be on the lookout for the rental car, which is very important. So July 10th, 1995, 5 days after the murder, we get Sylvia's autopsy back, and the results are shocking, and we're told that this, like, completely turns the case around because the results don't match Amanda's story, they say.
Now, I'm like, why is anybody surprised that this woman who, I'm sorry, I am not saying this cavalierly at all, this woman who was raped and shot in the leg doesn't have a perfect memory or her story doesn't exactly make sense?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I was like, wait a second, but they're suddenly questioning Amanda's story because the medical examiner is saying that with Sylvia's gunshot wounds, there was two of them, either one of them would have completely incapacitated her. She would not have been able to stand up and the way that Amanda said she did, which Amanda says is when she was then shot in the head the second time.
Because remember, yeah, Amanda said that Sylvia was shot once, then fell to the ground, then got up and was shot a second time. And the medical examiner is saying that it's, quote, physically impossible for that to happen. And then on top of that,
the police are really starting to scrutinize Amanda's story as it goes to Amanda's leg injury. The angle of the injury would have been consistent with Amanda holding a gun and pointing it towards her own foot.
The science says that Amanda shot herself in the leg.
Or that the leg injury could have been self-inflicted. It looks to me at this point like they're trying to make it like Amanda did this. And I was like, did she? Then they get the results from Amanda's sexual assault evidence kit, and it comes back, quote, inconclusive.
Right. Which we're told isn't a red flag, but in this context, it is.
Because we're told they're usually very reliable. So I don't know. And I mean, you know, without getting too into it, because, like, who am I to talk about this at all? What a survivor constitutes as rape might not necessarily be penetration. Like, is that what they're looking? I don't know. But it's like, can we just believe her?
That would be really great.
You know?
That would be excellent if that were the case.
So between the evidence collection kit and the gunshot, they're saying Amanda's story doesn't make sense. And so now the detectives are interviewing the neighbors, and we're hearing from the neighbors that Amanda and Sylvia are fighting a lot. And the night of the murder, they were heard, according to one neighbor, fighting in their apartment.
And according to what the story is that Amanda, quote, wasn't always very nice to Sylvia, who is our victim here.
Yeah. Can I just tell you that you can hear anything down our hallway? Like, our apartment is pretty big, and it used to be a recording studio, so it's pretty soundproof, but, like, pretty much sound really travels down our hallway.
Well, when you open the door at all, like, of course, the sound's gonna bounce.
And it's just like I'm so conscious of the way that I speak to my family anywhere near the front door, because all of the neighbors can hear it.
Yeah, exactly. But
Aubrey's a good guy in the story, Steve.
Exactly. So Amanda is now a suspect in this murder, and Sylvia's family is shocked. Because remember, they were like, oh, that really nice social worker our sister is with?
Yeah. They are shocked until they aren't. Like, they're kind of shocked, and then they're kind of like, seems like she could have done it.
Well, you have to think about how the story is being presented to them.
Of course.
That's a huge thing about how people react to things.
And I'm glad you say that, because we were talking off mic about how we like this series, but this episode, to me, was a little self-congratulatory on the cops' part. But the thing about that is, you're right, like, the cops are presenting this to the family as though, like, they know what's going on, and this looks a little suspicious to us.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. You could say something totally benign to someone, and just your tone and how you present it can totally change your reaction.
Yeah.
Or the person's reaction.
Yeah.
So it can be said, like, oh, you know, it looks like Amanda shot herself in the leg is very different than, well, that's one option.
It could have been self, even but, when I said a second ago, or it could have been self-inflicted. Nobody said that in the episode. I'm just saying that, like, it looks like it could have been self-inflicted.
Right, like, the sexual assault evidence kit being inconclusive could mean a great great many things. But right. if they're saying it to the family as like, well, if they're leading them in a certain direction, I mean, you never know how things are being presented.
To the point that Sylvia's funeral is a few days later, Amanda is there, and Sylvia's brother, Mark, has to secretly be nice to her.
Because they're like, it's just so shitty that this is why, like, you just gotta take care of everything when you're the authorities in this situation. Because they're not, like, what the family isn't thinking about is that Sylvia's family's at her funeral, and it's hard on the family anyway, because remember how their father was murdered not too long ago?
Yes.
So they're mourning their sister, and then on top of it, they think that the murder suspect just walked in.
Right.
And then they have to navigate those emotions and, like, quote, not mess up the case, and also be nice, and also, is she a murderer?
Like, and also, like, she didn't walk, I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying in general, she didn't walk in, she was wheeled in a wheelchair. Like,
right.
This woman is, like, suffering. Now, I'm with you. I know at this point of the in the episode, we're supposed to think that she did it.
But I'm just saying, it's so unfair to do this to the family, because what they're going through is bad enough without thinking that the girlfriend that they really liked is probably a murderer, according to the police. Like, that's just a shitty thing to do.
I agree. Travel down the road, back again. Girl, ZipRecruiter is back. Look, I've hired lots of people in my day, and I gotta tell you, that process can be awful. Whether you're waiting for the right candidates to apply, or like you're sorting through resumes, or you're not even actually sure what you're looking for after the fifth resume. You're like, I don't know what to do.
It's just so time consuming.
Yes.
No one has the time anymore.
Well, look, the future of hiring looks much brighter, fam, because ZipRecruiter's latest tools and features help speed up finding the right people for your roles so you save valuable time. Ever since we started using ZipRecruiter, my life changed.
Yeah, and now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
So, fam, I love ZipRecruiter so much. And with ZipRecruiter's new advances, you can easily find and connect with qualified candidates in minutes. I mean, it literally saved me days of time.
Because the thing is, if you need someone, you probably needed them before you actually needed them.
1,000,000%.
Did that make sense?
Well, yes, completely. Yeah.
And so if you, like, see a candidate you're really interested in, you can, like, unlock their contact info right away.
Which has not been a thing before.
Yes.
And with over 320,000 new resumes added to ZipRecruiter monthly, this means you can reach more potential hires and fill roles sooner.
Yeah, so use ZipRecruiter and save time hiring.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That was totally my experience.
And if you go to ZipRecruiter.com/TCO right now, you can try it for free.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hiring people out there, you know you've been meaning to do this. Today's the day.
Yeah, and don't be like, oh my God, it takes so much time. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Bye.
Well, now we meet Kimberly. Kimberly is here just to be an awesome lesbian.
Yeah, she played softball with everyone, and she's Sylvia and Amanda's friend, and she's horrified.
And let me just tell you, Kimberly reminds me of my mom's friends when they were that age. They all were great at softball. Kimberly looks like she's the fucking best. She's the one who brings that big thing of Gatorade. She cuts up the oranges, and she brings that for halftime if that's a thing in baseball.
She needs to make sure everyone's hydrated.
Everyone's, because, well,
you have your vitamin C.
I know. They're all running around hydrating each other, because that's what lesbians do. It's 1995. They're probably all very excited about upcoming Lilith Fair.
Yes, exactly. And Kimberly says,
I moved to Park Slope because half of the lesbians in New York City lived in Park Slope. There were just all kinds of people living there.
She had to go be around the lesbians. God, why don't I live in Park Slope?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I should move there.
Go ahead.
Okay.
But the community, like, here's, and Kimberly's like, oh, great. And she's kind of making jokes, like, all the lesbian, half the lesbians in New York City live in Park Slope, ha, ha, ha. But she's the one who says, like, yes, the community is saddened and outraged, but the community is defending Amanda.
There's no world in which they think Amanda did this.
Because they're like, how could the cops think she killed Sylvia? Especially when, by the way, there is a serious rapist on the loose in the neighborhood.
I mean, those words alone shocked me, but then I remembered this. I remembered the Park Slope rapist. Like, that was, we've covered this before. And, like, how fucking dare these cops, when there is a known rapist on the loose, be like, it was probably the lesbian girlfriend who did it.
And Kimberly says, Amanda isn't just gay, she's black.
Yes.
So the discrimination of, oh, it's probably the black girlfriend, like, whatever, it was very, very easy for the cops to make that assumption.
And, like, the cops really want us to know that there's, like, a parallel investigation going on between looking into, like, who is the murderer, but also trying to find the rapist. We know. You're looking for the rapist, cops. We know.
Okay, fine. So the cops are talking to everyone on the softball team, notably Trelane McKinney.
Trelane, like a lot of lesbians I know and grew up with, can have a little bit of a hot temper.
Which, like, can't we all?
Yes.
Right? So she's Amanda. Amanda, who's being accused of murder, she's Amanda's ex-girlfriend. And she, I feel so, Trelane, like, it took a lot for her to come here because she's here.
I agree.
Like, she is with us.
But I want to tell y'all, so I say this from true lived experience. Ex-girlfriends in the lesbian community is not really a thing. Like, my mom and her girlfriend, Terry, were together for 20 years. My mom and Terry broke up. Terry started dating my mom's best friend, and they are now married. So, like, my mom in the nursing home, Terry's new wife is the one that always comes to visit my mother. Mm-hmm. So it's like the lesbian community can be very, very close.
Well, this is what Trelane is saying. So yes. She says that, like, she was with Amanda. She said they'd been, quote, seriously involved. And according to Trelane,
Sylvia had come along and started dating Amanda and broken up the relationship between Trelane and Amanda.
A few weeks after the breakup, tensions flared at a softball game that Trelane was umpiring.
Trelane said to Sylvia, "I will hurt you. I will kill you."
There was a fight at one of the softball games.
And Trelane threatened to kill, like, literally threatened to kill Sylvia.
Because Trelane was the ump. And she's like, oh, like, I got, like, sort of, like, saddled with this game. And it was, like,
the what?
She was the umpire. That's a real thing.
Okay. Now that you say the whole word, I didn't know what you... The way you said it with such conviction and authority, the ump. And I didn't know what that was. I thought that was a lesbian term. I didn't know.
No, it's a real thing.
The ump. No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at me. Because now, of course, I've heard of it.
It's the guy that kicks Tom Hanks out of the game in
Right.
Anyone ever tell you look like the penis with a little hat on? Kicked him right out of the game.
Also, the lesbians also take softball very seriously.
But this is really heartbreaking because Trelane is, like, having to deal with the love of her life, allegedly. Like,
well, and we'll learn how this breakup happened. It was kind of shitty, like, on Amanda's part.
Yeah, and, like, now she has to, like, be professional at this game. And so, anyway, like, everything kind of comes to a head. And Trelane, the witnesses say, like, Trelane definitely threatens Sylvia, saying, "I will hurt you, I will kill you." So then it's like, well, is Trelane involved? Is Amanda covering for her? Like, did they plan this? What's going on?
And it really, we've seen this before in non-lesbian cases, too, where it's like, if you say, "I'm going to kill you" to somebody, and then they die, the cops really look at you.
Well, they're not crazy to do it,
I
necessarily
guess, but it's like
when they don't have any leads at all and they're already blaming the girlfriend, the black gay girlfriend.
Yeah,
like, okay.
And it is like a love triangle.
Like, some should they lesbians be looking at the rapist? Sure, but
right.
when you're but looking, like, at everything on paper, it's like, well,
that really is the other thing. Like, there is a known rapist running around the neighborhood.
Yeah,
you know,
but, like, you look at it on paper, it's like, okay, these two were together, they had this fight on the softball field. We don't know yet that that's an empty threat. Like,
yeah,
you have no idea. And
I just, I forgot how homophobic you are. So, moving on.
Here it comes. But the other reason the cops are like, well, we should look at her. Remember that rental car?
Yeah.
Amanda reported it stolen because the killer supposedly grabbed the keys on his way out.
Trelane was definitely a person of interest in this case.
So when officers learned that Sylvia and Amanda's rental car, which Amanda had reported as stolen by the killer, was discovered near Trelane's apartment, our antenna went sky high.
It was found, like, two blocks away from Trelane's apartment.
But, so, once again, I'm like, wouldn't that rule her out? What kind of idiot killer is going to, like, steal the car and then park it in front of their house?
You never know.
I know. But it's like, sometimes we get that where, like, the thing that's like, see, the car was right next to there. Like, shouldn't that obviously, like, I understand we have to go through the process of, like, ruling her out because she did scream, "I'll kill you" in front of a bunch of people.
Well, either way, they're sending the car to the crime lab. So
Yeah. They
want to see if there's any evidence they can use. And meanwhile, the cops want to talk to Trelane. And that's when we meet her for the first time. I'm like, I cannot believe she's here. I was not expecting this.
She was arrested at her job where?
Where?
Where does she work?
I don't know.
The post office.
Oh, Trelane. She was probably one of the nice ones.
So I'm telling you, like, that's the other thing, too, is that, like, you would be so lucky to have a lesbian post office delivery person in your neighborhood.
Yeah. But I do want to say, actually, wait, they didn't arrest her. They show up to her job at the post office and haul her out of there in handcuffs. And if it seems excessive, it's because it is.
Yes.
They drag her down to the station for questioning, and they make a scene.
Yes.
They make, like, the scene out of her for no real reason. They're just questioning her.
She's a lesbian mail carrier.
Aww.
I'm obsessed with it.
Aww.
But But, you know, this is where Trelane explains the history of, like, what's going on here. And so she had been dating Amanda. They met on the softball league. She was in love with Amanda. She thought she was super hot. They hit it off. They were dating for 3 years when Sylvia entered the picture. And, like, the way Trelane describes this is that Amanda literally brought Sylvia home and was like, I want to be with her.
Well, it's sad. It's really heartbreaking to me because Trelane, even now, like, she's getting emotional and she says, Amanda brought Sylvia to our home. And then she takes a beat and then she repeats it. She goes, she brought her into our home.
I don't know exactly what she means, but it sounds like Amanda was either saying, I want to be with her and we're all going to be together, or I'm going to be with her and you have to leave.
Or like that could also mean that
they cheated.
They were caught cheating in the house. Uh-huh. And Amanda said, like, I'm choosing Sylvia over you, because Trelane says, like, that was a lot for me and I moved out.
And my note here is, like, suddenly Trelane is the only adult in the room.
It just seems mean to do. Amanda's not here and I don't want to, like, it just seems like we say it all the time, like, you can, like, not want to be with Trelane anymore, but it seems like an incredibly harsh way to break someone's heart.
I mean, I was taking it literally. Like, she's like, brought her home and I was like, here's my new girlfriend. You either need to go or be okay with this.
I think in a sense that happened. Maybe they were walked in on or something.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh, this was their place to cheat or something. I don't know. But like something, the way Trelane says that and then repeats, she brought her into our home.
I know.
Is heartbreaking.
And I love that Trelane goes on to say, did I threaten to kill Sylvia? That's a hard yes.
And I end up having Sylvia's game, and I called her out, and then she comes up in my face, and I, you know, like saying, back off, back off. Next thing I know, I said, I will kill you, I will hurt you.
I definitely did that.
Yeah, and she's like, look, I was furious, and I had to see them all the time. Like, there was no distance. She goes, tempers were flying. Like, to be fair, Everyone was screaming at each other. And she says, like, it was an empty threat then. It's an empty threat now. But, it, like, in the mix of all of this insanity and the way that the cops are just, like, have these blinders on, the cops are treating her shittily.
The cops, we just get so much of 2023 cops, whatever year this episode was made, wanting us to know how hard they worked and how much they cared. But, like, we're seeing the evidence of them being kind of lazy about it.
Yeah. And, like, they don't really have any leads. They can't prove that Trelane did anything. Like, they need the forensics. All they have is this empty threat.
Well, and they get the forensics from the car back, and there was nothing. Like, whoever had this car, like, wiped it clean. There's no fingerprints. There's no DNA. There's nothing there.
And the cops are saying, like, okay, so there's nothing linking Trelane to Sylvia's murder. Fine. But there's also nothing that they say that backs up Amanda's story, because there's no force entry. There's no male DNA anywhere. There's nothing.
Like, why would there be forced entry? Like, they told him that he had a gun. They let them into the house. Like, it's, You know, like, there's no story in which she's like, he broke into the house.
I agree. And I'm not defending the cops.
No, I know you're not. I just, when you said it, I was like hearing it again for the first time. Like, she never claimed there was forced entry. You know, 1995 is not 2025. There's not surveillance video everywhere. There's not, you know what I mean?
And there's no male DNA.
And there's no witnesses. And the sexual assault recovery kit came back inconclusive. And the gunshot looked like it could have been self-inflicted. Like, I guess I get it, but it's, you know, there's also a rapist on the loose in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Girl, Rocket Money is back. Look, we all know, we can say it by heart by now. Rocket Money is the personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Yeah, I love this so much because it shows all your expenses in one place, like all the subscriptions. So as you know, I'm winding down the Hamilcast, so there are going to be a lot of subscriptions that I don't really need anymore.
Oh, that's going to be nice for you.
It is going to be nice, but if I didn't have Rocket Money, I'd be worried that I was forgetting one.
Listen, and they are in touch with you. Like, anytime we do like a charitable donation, they'll be like, hey, this seems unusual. Is this, did you mean to do this?
Yeah. Seeing everything in one place instead of like scrolling through my phone and being like, wait, or like going back through emails, that dashboard is so helpful.
Yes. And listen, if you've got a goal you'd like to save for, Rocket Money can analyze your accounts to find the best time each month to put extra money aside. How amazing is that?
Even more amazing, they will negotiate lower bills for you.
This is my favorite part.
Like, they will try their best. The app automatically scans your bills and finds opportunities to save, and then they just do it. They like go to work on getting you better deals.
And then they email you about it. They're like, that's done.
Yeah, they will talk to customer service so you don't have to. Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. So fam, Rocket Money's 5 million members have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, with members saving up to $740 a year when they use all the app's premium features.
Unbelievable. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money.
Go to rocketmoney.com/obsessed today.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
Which we are.
Which we are.
If it's not clear. So it's August 14th, 1995. They question Amanda again. And she's like, look, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe I was groggy from the painkillers. I guess some, like, sure, some details were wrong. But I'm telling you, the overall story that I told you is correct. Right, did I forget? Was it like, did I turn to the left or right? Fine. But what I said to you is what happened.
And also, I was in the middle of the most, like, horrific assault of my life. I'm sorry if my memory's not crystal clear.
Right.
Amanda takes a polygraph test. Now, I know that we know that polygraph tests are ridiculous, but we are always told that if you take a polygraph, if you agree to the polygraph and you pass it, you're ruled out. She passes the polygraph with flying fucking lesbian rainbow pride flag colors. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they're still not ready to rule her out as a suspect.
Well, this is one of the only times we hear a cop be like, well, polygraphs aren't admissible in court in New York State. It's like, it's always on me to remind everyone that, except when it's this case.
Exactly.
So when the lesbians hear that Amanda is still a suspect, while there's a serial rapist terrorizing the community, our host is like, all hell breaks out. And Kimberly is like, you're goddamn right. Right. It did. So Kimberly's like,
we protested. We marched. It really did feel like, because we were women, because we were lesbians, like, let's wrap this up right away.
The LGBTQ community and the police department had a fractured relationship.
And I want this quote to be heard. The LGBTQ community and the police department had a fractured relationship.
So this was where I made a note. I was like, hang on a second.
To put it very lightly.
You want to, can we just like go down a list of reasons why the gays don't trust the cops? The years of raiding our bars, beating up our people, and trapping men in bathrooms, sending people to prison on purpose, printing our names in the newspapers, ruining our lives just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, they're totally trying to like rewrite that history. There's a reason for that distrust and dislike. And by the way, marginalized communities are great at organizing. That's why they were able to organize these marches so quickly. We have to do it every fucking year. We still have to do it, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So they use the word fractured and then not explaining why it's fractured. And then we get like a commercial essentially about how, quote, the NYPD learned and improved. We formed a bureau to better serve the LGBTQ population. And I'm
so
like,
I looked this bureau up because I was like, what is that? I've never heard of this. And all of the years I've lived in New York, I've been here for 25 years. I've never knew that there was like a bureau. You would think that would be like a task force. It is one person with two people working under her. Thank God it's at least a woman at the head of it. But like,
she better be gay.
I would fucking
or
hope so.
Or non-binary. Or so, you know what? She better be part of the community.
Yes, yes, 100%. But it's one fucking person. You know what I mean? And like, but also, where are they? There's one person at the head of this bureau. This person is not interviewed for the camera.
Nope.
They do not tell us what they did to help the community.
And also, you're not done, NYPD.
Oh,
they
my
kind
God.
Of act like, oh, it was, quote, fractured. So really, like, sugarcoating it. And then how the NYPD learned and improved, period.
Right.
Like, it's not a living, breathing process or, like, they did anything valuable at
all. I will give the NYPD the props that they are due. Like, for example, there was one year, it was maybe 2004, 2005 or whatever, that the Heritage of Pride, who runs Pride, who, like, you know, the big annual Pride celebration, forgot to file for their permits for the march. And had they not, the march would not have fucking happened. And the cops went and did it for them.
Okay.
So there are moments where the cops have made good. And I got to tell
you. Especially when it's really good PR.
Totally. Right. Like, how do I know that story? You know what I mean?
In my most cynical bone, it's kind of like, well, of course they did. Because first of all, the hell that would break loose if they didn't.
Right. Exactly.
And it's great PR.
But it's just like, there's a lot of distrust there. LGBTQ. And like, sure, like white gay men like me are probably treated fine if I ever have to like encounter the police. But what about like our trans brothers and sisters, our, you know, brothers and sisters and non-binary folks of color? Like, it is not good. It's not even like fine. It's not bad.
Good. It's very not good.
So, you
also
know,
bad.
lots of, and that's why this episode was like just so self-congratulatory and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, because there's one part of me that's like, oh, cool. You told us the story. That's a step forward, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though to the casual viewer, it's like, and they did good work, too. It's
right,
like,
totally. We created a bureau with one person on it.
Like, no, Kimberly and her friends did the good work because
exactly.
They are protesting nonstop. They're telling the cops, don't look at Amanda, like, please. They're begging them to find the Park Slope rapist. And, like, this piece of shit needs to be found, no question.
So now we learn it's September 16th, 1995. It's 2 months after the attack on Amanda and Sylvia. Just a half mile from their apartment, a stranger follows a young woman into her apartment building.
Police were at the right place at the right time when they arrested 26-year-old Tony Harrison.
Based on victim IDs, our investigators believe they finally caught the Park Slope rapist.
this results in the arrest of the Park Slope rapist.
Yeah.
And we learned that this person's name is Tony Harrison. He's 26 years old. But the question is he the same guy that attacked Sylvia and Amanda?
Because he doesn't match the description that Amanda gave the guy. So she said he was like a short, thin Latino guy, had a very, very thin mustache. And the guy that they picked up, the Park Slope rapist, is not that. He's a black guy. He's tall. He's much heavier. So it doesn't match what Amanda said. But still, like, okay, we got one piece of shit off the street. We'll take it.
And it's kind of wild that, like, wow, like the Park Slope rapist is not the man who broke in and raped and killed and raped Amanda and killed Sylvia. There's like multiple of that happening in that neighborhood at once.
Which is not good for Amanda. Because
no, right.
If her friends and the community are saying, like, get the rapists, and the cops are like, we did, and now we're still looking at your friend, like, that's a problem for Amanda.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So the cops released the description or the sketch of Amanda's description and put out a $10,000 reward. They're getting nothing. No tips, no leads, no information, no forensics from the car, like, nothing. Thing.
And Kimberly is like describing what a really hard time this was for Amanda. And she was saying it was a really hard time for her, but we all believed the best way to honor Sylvia was to make sure that Amanda wasn't wrongfully convicted of her murder. And I gotta tell you, there was a part of me that looked like it was going in that direction.
Absolutely. And also, like, just to bring it back to Sylvia for a minute, her friends and family are devastated because they're torn up over this too. Like, because now it's like, okay, so now the community, there's like all the strife in the community. Did Amanda do it? Did she not? They kind of don't know what to think. They're still mourning their father. They're mourning their sister. Like, her family is devastated that this rapist guy that they caught is not the same one from the apartment. Like, once they realize that there's no leads and once they realize that it doesn't match Amanda's thing, they're like, wait, like, their heads are spinning. Well, my heart breaks for them.
And it's true because, it, like, to the cops, it's like, well, we caught the Park Slope rapist.
That's what you wanted. We did what you wanted.
Yep. But, like, imagine the people living in the world of reality where they're like, oh my God, there's more than one person out there doing it. Like, that's the other thing that barely even gets touched on in this episode is how afraid everybody in that community must have been.
Right.
That even once the rapist is caught, it's not the guy. There's still another guy out there doing this.
Right. So it's March 30th, 1996, 8 months after Sylvia's murder, and we hear about a woman named Gabrielle Kearns.
A young woman named Gabrielle Kearns is sitting in her car. A man with a gun approaches her and demands everything she has.
He tried to take her vehicle. She wouldn't give it to him. She put up a fight, and he shot her in the head.
The man shoots her, and she survives. The attacker is named Alex Villanueva. He's 19 years old. We talk about this all the time, like throwing your whole entire fucking life away.
Oh, I know.
Like, these are your choices at 19 years old. Oh my God.
And somehow they catch him really fast. And when they catch him, he's got a semi-automatic handgun on him.
And once they get a good look at him, he looks exactly like Amanda's description. He's wearing the same baseball cap.
Can we give a Grammy and an Academy Award to this police sketch artist? Because,
I know.
He, like, based on Amanda's description, he looked exactly.
And it's like, okay, Amanda's memory was a little foggy, but she remembered the shit that counts.
Yes.
So sorry, everyone, for being like, well, a couple details were wrong. Not a single detail was wrong about this guy.
No.
Because the sketch artist was able to make a perfect rendering.
Yeah. So they don't have a lot on him, but that's fine because he just wants to admit to all of his crimes anyway.
They say he's, quote, unusually eager to cooperate. This little fucking twerp calls himself Little Gotti because he sees himself as untouchable.
Like,
please.
What?
But then, so while they're talking to him, he confesses to yet another unsolved murder.
Yes.
And this was what they call an execution-style murder 2 months before Sylvia's murder.
Yeah, the man's name is Michael Terrell. I actually looked into this crime today, and there really is, like, precious little on the internet about what happened to him. Ugh. But the killer put a pillow over his head and shot him in the head and killed him. And, like, and he's just admitting to this murder. Like, they didn't know anything about this. They weren't going to connect him to it at all. He's just admitting to it.
And they're like, okay, well, Michael Terrell was shot in the head. Gabrielle Kearns in the car was shot in the head.
And we know he did those two things.
And so Sylvia Lugo was also shot in the head. And he is like, yes, you're absolutely right. He confesses to Sylvia's murder and then starts bragging about it.
Yes.
And he says, and this is where I'm like, how do you get this at 19 years old? He's like,
explained when he described Sylvia Lugo's murder. He said that he wasn't targeting anybody, but he was in the area and saw them, had a gun, and decided, why not?
I had a gun. I said, hey, why not? That's his whole confession.
I know.
So he describes everything he did to Amanda and Sylvia in detail. He sees them on the street getting out of the car. I guess he sees two women, like, they had just come home from vacation. So I guess they, like, had a bunch of stuff with them. He decided to attack them. He basically confirms everything Amanda told police, the attack, the rape, Sylvia coming in during the rape, shooting and killing Sylvia, shooting Amanda in the leg, stealing the car keys, stealing the jewelry on his way out. Because you know this wasn't in the paper because they weren't like giving any attention to this case. So this guy is saying stuff that like public didn't know.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, so then why, hey, idiot, why was the car parked near Trelane's apartment? It's Amanda's ex, the former suspect.
And we learned that's where his probation officer lived. And it was just a pure coincidence that it was the same neighborhood as Trelane.
And he was there visiting his probation officer. And then when he leaves the probation officer's apartment, suddenly, because of his fucking actions, the block was crawling with cops. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to leave the car here.
I don't need that rental car anymore.
Like, he's like, better than leave the car than get into a stolen car near police because right. They might, like, look at him. So he just, like, sees the lights and sirens. He's like, all right, I'm out, and leaves the car there.
Travel. Girl, ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic is back. Look, this was a big thing in our house.
Yeah, so ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic.
Oh my God, it's so sciencey. It was invented by PhD scientists, fam, to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Thanks for having our back, PhD scientists.
Yes, here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut.
Right, it's the buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for the rough days after drinking.
Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down.
So just remember to take the pre-alcohol as your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and then you'll feel your best tomorrow.
Yeah, remember to have the water, remember to eat.
Truly, but do take it first, and it tastes good.
And yeah, you absolutely take it first. It's just like, it's a little shot.
Do you know, when we have people over for our happy hours, we hand them out.
It's smart.
So fam, fall is right around the corner, so that means it's time to raise a glass to your favorite team, especially me, girl.
Yes, absolutely.
What is it? It's the Chiefs, right?
Absolutely, yes. Okay, go great. Taylor's boyfriend. Whether or fiance.
Whoa!
Whether you are Taylor tailgating, enjoying a college game day, or watching Sunday's action on that fancy new TV, don't forget ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink.
Drink a pre-alcohol before drinking and enjoy great days after celebrating all season long.
Go to ZBiotics.com/TCO to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use TCO at checkout.
ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/TCO and use the code TCO at checkout for 15% off.
Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. And thanks for Travis Kelce for being the guy in the Chiefs that comes home to me.
There you go.
Did I do it?
Yeah, we'll
kind
give
of.
It to you.
Okay.
We'll give it to you. No need to go to the videotape, as
to
say.
No. So now finally the cops have to admit or acknowledge that Amanda's been telling the truth the whole time.
Because the same gun used to shoot Gabrielle Kearns also shot Sylvia Lugo, because finally we have forensics that are working in our favor in terms of solving this thing.
And so, like, Amanda is brought in to do a lineup, and we get this whole five. We haven't talked about lineups in a while, but apparently they're happening all the time in the city. And, you know, we get this expert who's telling us,
it's very emotional for a witness to actually see the perpetrator on the other side of the glass. Every witness is really frightened to do a lineup because they're afraid that they're going to remember it wrong or pick the wrong person out.
Also, you're afraid you're going to get it wrong. Like, if you pick the wrong guy, then the bad guy gets away.
And what if they see you? Like, it happens on SVU all the time. Where,
is that
like,
right?
There's an accident where it's like, oh, like, you're supposed to be escorting her out the back. Or they, like, let the people. And then it's like, oh, my God, it's you. Oh, yeah.
Does that happen in real life?
I doubt it. I don't know. Hopefully not. I'm sure
not
it's happened.
Not on Jillian's Law.
I hope it never happens. But I'm sure it has to have happened. I mean, that's part of the fear. That would be, I mean, maybe, I don't know what my biggest fear in that situation would be. But I would think that would be a major part of it, is like, what if he sees me? What if he sees me, like, even in the vicinity of the precinct, then he would know.
Yeah, of course.
Or maybe he wouldn't leave the precinct. I don't know. But I'd be like, he knows. He knows it's me. He definitely knows
it's
me.
It would be scary.
Like, he knows it's me. He has to. And also, like, just to hit that point home, every single thing Amanda said was true.
Yes.
Everything she said was true.
And she picks him out of the lineup right away. That's the guy right there.
We also never get back to the fact that the medical examiner said Sylvia could not have gotten up after being shot. We never get into that. We also never get into the other side of the explanation for Amanda, quote, shooting herself in the leg. Like, we never get back to that.
Yeah.
Like it could have, but they don't say, like, here's what actually happened.
I mean, at one point they mentioned that there was, like, a tussle and that, like, the gun was probably down. and like it maybe went off or something, but and she was like, shot at like a weird angle.
Plant that in the beginning, right. And then they never like exonerate. Because Amanda, who is a survivor and has been harassed for over a year.
I was just going to say, now she's a survivor of this. Like, in addition to what this piece of shit did to her, now she's survived like being accused of her girlfriend's murder for a year.
And now the cops are like, oh yeah, sorry about that. Can you help us get this guy?
Right.
Like, can you tell your story again and do a lineup and testify? And she does. And I'm just like, the trauma that they put so many people through. But like, to talk about Amanda for a second, going through the horrible ordeal, grieving Sylvia, being accused of murder, being a pariah. Because while so many people were on her side, a lot of people in the community were not.
Including some of Sylvia's family. Like, when Sylvia's family says they were shocked to find out that Amanda was innocent.
And not to mention being shot in the leg, which was no picnic. And she wasn't able to work because of it. Just like, oh, the layers of it. And then Sylvia's family is like, yeah, us too. Like, now the guilt of not just believing Amanda or like believing what they were told or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a mess.
Yes.
It's the whole thing is a fucking mess.
And like, we don't ever see Amanda in this episode. We don't know how she's doing, but like, presumably it's been a hard go for her.
Because Ed Trelane, her ex, says Amanda lost her dignity. She wasn't the same after all of that. And Trelane too.
Trelane McKinney suffered too. She lost her job and was shunned by her own community.
You know how paper blows in the wind? That's how I felt. I felt useless. Just let it take me away.
This was just awful. And the cops are just like, you know what? It's the cost of doing business, honestly. Like, there's really nothing you can do about it. And I'm like, there are about a million things you could have done.
I know.
Like, even if it's like, wow, Amanda was a suspect for a really long time. That's different than harassing her, hauling Trelane out of her job in handcuffs just to be questioned, which is totally a fucking violation of her civil rights. There's no, you don't, if you, she, there was no reason to arrest her.
Right.
No reason, I mean, no reason to handcuff her.
And also, why put somebody in a position of being the liaison for the community or whatever, and then but not activating them to do anything.
Unbelievable.
You know?
Unbelievable. And so, like, the killer, who's, like, thrilled to be talking about all of this, pleads guilty to everything.
Yeah.
Happily, almost. Second-degree murder of Sylvia Lugo and Michael Terrell, the attempted murder of Gabrielle Kearns, and the rape of Amanda Leach.
I was really thinking about this. Like, when they describe him, they said that he was a drifter who, like, mostly lived on the streets, and I was like, did he admit to all of this just so he could have a permanent place to, like, call home?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
At 19 years old, it's like, oh, his rap sheet for 19 and the violence. Like, to say, like, it was a crime of opportunity, but to be so violent and to rape Amanda that way. And just like,
he didn't have any intention of getting away with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like he fled the area. It's not like he was just doing the same thing over and over again in the same neighborhood. Like, he knew he was going to get caught.
I wonder, and maybe not. Like, I mean, sometimes people are, they just do insanely evil shit. But I wonder if there's more to what he said, not in a defending him way, but if there's more to what he said that we're not hearing, because it just seems like you're killing men, you're killing women. Sometimes you're sexually violent, sometimes you're not. Like, it just was real, like, almost like he had this violence and darkness in him that just, like, needed to fucking get out. And so
and we
he just,
see that sometimes.
Like, it's so scary. It is so scary.
And, like, in the end, he gets 50 years to life, and that's that.
Yeah, and Amanda's not here.
I know.
I thought that was very, very telling that Amanda was not here.
Not a part of the story.
You know? For whatever, it could have been as simply as, like, I'm not going to go to this fucking kind of propaganda true crime show. Like, I've been through a fucking enough.
Yeah.
I told my story and they didn't want to hear it. I'm not telling it again.
100%.
I told my story once. They didn't want to hear it. They accused me of murder. They made me a pariah. And then when they needed my help and realized everything I said was right, I told it a second time. I'm not doing number three.
No
fucking
but
way.
But when I see Kimberly at the Cubbyhole this weekend, I will ask her if she'll go speak on my behalf.
You know what I mean? And I'm speculating wildly, but it would not surprise me if that's what Amanda said.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you this a third time.
Absolutely
not. So you can congratulate yourself again? Hell no. Hell no.
Oh my God, girl, we did. What's it called?
So this is our 12th bonus episode. The show is New York Homicide, Season 1, Episode 5, Broken Pride.
Oh my God.
Wild ride, man.
Fam, join the Facebook group. Join us on the Patreon, but only if you like bonus episodes and drag bingo
and like super fun times.
And super fun times. You do have to like the super fun times,
but you have to specifically like them ad-free.
And you do have to like them.
That's the only caveat is like, you can like, if you want super fun times with ads in them, Patreon is not for you.
And listen, that is true. And while we're on the subject, I would like to point out that you do want to go hear our coverage of Amy Bradley.
Do you?
I think think you really do. Okay. We're about to do a 9-hour coverage of our third episode of Amy Bradley, and like right after
the end of this goddamn thing.
We're fine, but you know what? There's more lesbians. There's more awesome lesbians. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to talk about Molly. It's insane, and I've really come around on this case. I think
I knew you would. Didn't take much.
All right, we love you, fam.
We love you. See you next time. Bye.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.